The alphabet has only 26 letters. With these 26 magic symbols, however, millions of words are written every day.
You know what that means? Time for our monthly episode of Science Diction, where we discuss the origin of scientific words with our guest, Howard Markel. He's a professor of history of medicine at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and he's also director of the Center of History of Medicine there. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Markel.
Hello, Joe.
So today's word.
It's the word I almost want to sing it, send in the clone. Talk about clone.
Clones. Okay, so it's clones or cloning are we talking
about?
Well,
we'll get to that. Let's first talk about clone, which literally has its roots in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It came about in 1903. A plant physiologist at the United States Department of Agriculture named Herbert Weber was working on a term that would describe the process where you take a graft or a cutting or a slip from one plant and then propagate it vegetatively or asexually to grow another plant. And he was a very literate man, Dr. Weber, and he felt strongly that words should be short, euphonious, phonetically spelled and easily pronounced, and different from any other word in the language, so it would not suggest any other meaning than the one that you desired.
Right.
And so he thought about it, and he chose the Greek word clone. He spelled it C-L-O-N, which literally means a twig or a slip of a plant that's broken off for the purposes of propagation. And this beat out other terms he was considering, like strace, which is a combination of strain and race, and two other Greek words, klados and klema, which are twigs, but he thought it was too clumsy.
So how did it get from twig? I mean, where it went beyond that pretty quickly, didn't it?
Well, it did and it didn't. It became a big agricultural term for many years, and it really got picked up by science fiction writers. And most famously, Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World, he didn't call it cloning. He called it the Bakunovsky process. But you may remember he took human embryos. They were split to mass-produce 96 identical drones, which he called Gamma, Delta, and Epsilon drones. And these drones performed menial labor for the more superior, the biologically engineered superior Alpha and Betas. There are other books, too. Alvin Toffler's best-selling book, Future Shock, in 1970, talked about clones when he worried about the day that human beings would be able to make carbon copies of themselves. And my personal favorite was Ira Levin's 1976 novel, The Boys from Brazil. You may recall it was this dastardly plot to clone Adolf Hitler's remains and reproduce and raise dozens of little Führers around the world. It was a huge bestseller and a popular movie.
Well, my favorite was Woody Allen's attempt to clone the dictator from his nose, which was all was left of him.
In Sleeper, that's
yes,
right.
That's right. Well, it's a complicated term. I know I came under a lot of fire for using it, or people did, you know, to refer to replicating humans, because a lot of scientists just talk about it as genetic duplicates. But we're going to have to leave the discussion there. Thanks very much for coming along and describing that to us.
Well, thanks for having me, Joe.
Okay. That was Dr. Howard Markel, is a professor of history of medicine at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. And that's it for this week's show. Greg Smith composed our theme music. We had help today from NPR librarian Key Maleski. If you missed any part of this program, go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast, audio and visual, video. You can email us if you have questions or comments. The address is scifry@sciencefriday.com. Ira Flatow will be back next week in New York. I'm Joe Palca.